Welcome, Garib members, this morning. Our agenda is a little bit shorter because there's an item that we are not going to deal with it, the third item. We're not going to do it today. We will recycle it. We have received the apology from the chairperson of the audit committee. Although the presentation is here, but he has indicated that he had a problem of flights. Flights are full, we couldn't get a seat. So that is the apology, a written apology. Let me read it for you so that it doesn't color. Oh, put on now your apple, it has been circulated. So they are not saying they are not interested to come to the portfolio committee, but they are citing this problem, and of which we can reschedule the meeting so that they can be able to start off. Because also from the report, the second report, I want to buy them here. We need to interact with the court. The items that are with us today on the table are going to refer the presentation from the department on its strategic plan for 2013-14, annual performance plan and operational plan, as well as the highlights on the budget goals. And the response of the department to the State of the Nation address by the President, as well as the issue that has been raised by the institutions supporting democracy, of which one is the Auditor General, Human Rights Commission, and then the Public Prosecutor. I think those issues are very critical in terms of the departmental performance. Then, so with the apologies, I've got only this one and myself. 11:30, I've got another meeting. Of which that meeting I can't miss. So let's try our best to make sure that they are closer, then I'll leave the meeting in the meeting if it's not come to an end by 11:20. Thank you. Are there any other apologies?
Good morning, members and the department. Mamut Lago, they come in late today. Only apologies that I have today.
It was today. I don't know, Moya wasn't soup or yesterday. But we hope that not come up there, but Connie let them come. That was, we all know each other here, but we don't know. Yeah. There are two people who don't know in this
okay. Good morning everybody, my name is Johanna Boyson and I'm from BMG.
This is, let me give the opportunity to make a summary briefing before the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Human Settlements Portfolio Committee. Thank you for inviting us to give in a short plan presentation on 2013-14 to 15-16 midterm to this committee. Chair, we would like to outline what our focus for the presentation today will be, and also to indicate that for this particular presentation, three presenters will be responsible. That's myself, the strategy, DDG, as well as the Chief Financial Officer. But Chair, I would also like to alert the members that there is a a very known person in our midst as part of our executive team today, the current HOD of the Western Cape, Mbulelo Chingam. His presence here is part of the orientation that he is going through within the department as a newly appointed DDG for a very important area of our structure, which is part of the presentation, which is PMU. And I'm pleased to inform this committee that the cabinet has approved his appointment. Allow me not to comment on political issues. His presence here is to also participate and also get a sense of what we have put together, particularly because one of the turnaround issues we've been dealing with here is the area that we said is critical, which is the program management unit, and I'm pleased that an executive of his caliber has accepted such a responsibility. I'm looking forward to a very interesting working relationship with him and this committee. And he will be joining us in due course. For now, he's moonlighting to begin to deal with issues that relate to his area. And I would like to officially welcome him to this meeting as our future DG in the department. Okay, our focus will be more on our overview of the department, as indicated, and we'd also like to reflect on some of the values. And the most important aspect for the presentation is the budget structure of the department as approved by National Treasury, and I would like to speak more on that. Also to reflect on human development priorities, and obviously for this department to reflect on our key performance indicators and targets that we are putting forward. And most importantly, everything that we do requires financial support, so we'll share the financial information that we have at our disposal. Our environment, is full of risks and challenges, and we'd like to reflect on that so that the committee does get a sense of those challenges. Next slide. As you know, with effect from the 1st of April 2012, the department was beginning to put into action or into effect our turnaround strategy, and that led into a new organogram that we have put forward, which we have been working with, which was also approved by the CPSA and the cabinet, and that led into a process of migrating staff into different functional areas to make sure that there's proper alignment. We are also going to be reviewing and assessing the progress that has been made to date with regard to our strategy and as well as to the how the alignment of functions have occurred in the department. The Treasury has provided us with the budget structure, which is a part of our organizational structure. The unfortunate thing, Chair, on this very important aspect is that the budget structure is approved by Treasury. It's not consistent with the organizational structure. It's a matter that might be a bit of a challenge, and I'm currently in communication and in discussions with the DG National Treasury, trying to highlight the challenges that one will have, particularly in relation to this particular area. Chair, one of our key functions at an executive level which we want to improve on, as per the comments made by this committee, made by the Minister and Select Committee on Appropriation, is the area of budget and financial performance. And the DDGs, together with myself, will be having a very important role to do this. The budget structure, therefore, that we received would require some element of review, if possible, and would like to engage Treasury quite effectively on that aspect for a proper strategic flow of our operations as informed by the financial structure which is approved by the DPSA and the government. The issue, therefore, that is critical is to make sure, Chair, that this plan that you are presenting here continue to try and align our strategies with the plans that exist and the new plans that we are putting in place, and most importantly, the element of budget to continue to be aligned into our structure so as to effectively manage the performance as well of our of our department at the international level. This will require us to continuously refine our strategies of implementation on various programs and projects, and also to begin to look into various national developmental goals and priorities, which also relate to policy and strategic infrastructure development, which is one of the elements that the CIPS and the National Development Plan is trying to deal with. So there's going to be a continuous alignment, Chair, in our sub-plan to make sure that the new national priorities as outlined in the State of the Nation address, particularly in relation to the National Development Plan, are covered in our sub-plan, which is quite critical for us. That will also, from time to time, redefine our role, our responsibilities and obligations, so as accountability for the household sanitation function, which is a critical function that we are still debating, Chair, as you know, and as we discussed, and to make sure that in this year that is at our disposal, there is serious improvement in the manner in which the household sanitation function is dealt with and implemented, and also the program that is currently assigned to us as a department. During this year, Chair, we also want to begin to seriously look into how Outcome 8 has performed. As Chair and members, you will know that we have entered into a performance agreement based on Outcome 8, and the Minister has also entered into that performance agreement, signed with the President, and also signed with the Minister, to do a review on how we have performed on various outputs that we have outlined for ourselves, and do proper assessment or adjustments, if any, or constructive criticism if there are areas of challenge that have existed. So Outcome 8, Chair, will be one of the key areas of our focus. And on our estimate of national estimate, we know that this is a priority, and the department will also ensure that in terms of our annual performance plan, Outcome 8 issues and outputs are reflected quite effectively. Honourable Chair, as I have also indicated, one of the key features, which is a new area of serious focus for the government at large, is the issue of the National Development Plan in terms of our strategy and policy and operations for our human settlement sector, and also to make sure that the elements of transformation that must be taken care of as we implement our program. Our view, Chair, is that the targets that are contained in our civil agreement, that we have entered into, which is signed by the Minister, must also form the basis of our focus and planning and planning for implementation, as this matter also is reflected on our National Development Plan. The diagnosis that has been done by the National Development Plan, human settlement, has featured quite prominently, and as a result, we will make sure that we continuously align our implementation strategies insofar as the National Development Plan is concerned. This is now a blueprint that I think is trying to hold government as a group from different sectors, and human settlement is a very critical and important role to play. Some of the brief key programs and projects for the future ahead, Chair, that the sector would like to focus on relate to the implementation and revision of the FLIP program, which I am sure all members are pretty much aware of this particular important program. Also, Chair, this forms part of the State of the Nation address in terms of how far. We know for a fact, Chair, that in the previous year, our critique reflects that we have not done very well in this particular area, and we will be working very closely with an institution that has been designated to name this particular program on our behalf, so that when there is revision of the public statement made by the President, we are in a better position to account as to what progress has been made in this era. But over and above that, this is one era that deals with the gap that exists in terms of the provision of housing and human settlement to our communities, and any special attention, therefore, that is paid in this program will assist in alleviating the challenges that we are faced with insofar as the human settlement development. The national ratification program here will take a different shape in the next financial year. You will recall that the members that have been working towards centralizing this program, and we have worked towards persuading MINMEC through some of the recommendations made by this particular committee that this program is centralized and appropriate in MINMEC due to various challenges that we experienced from different countries. Will be the department putting again sufficient resources on the PMU to treat this program as a special program and begin to put a plan of dealing with this much more actively. In the previous year, we were trying to coordinate activities, and in this year we want to implement practically what is to be done. And I think in the near future, with your permission, we would like to present to this committee our national ratification program in terms of what we intend to do, how we intend to do it, which specific provinces and areas we'd like to participate on, as we are now concluding the assessment and national assessment analysis of the data of the ratification in the country. So we want to focus very closely in the next financial year as part of our strategic focus on this area. Accreditation program remains a very important aspect of our capacity for delivery, Chair. As you have known, that we've been accrediting together with various provinces, various municipalities, capacity to deliver, so that we can be able to have various implementation agents with the status that they deserve to assist the human settlement sector in its endeavor to deliver on its mandate. One of the key things, Chair, which I've also alluded to, is to make sure that our social and rural housing units get delivered to deal effectively with the gap market challenge. This is one area, again, that we continue to monitor very closely. Our focus on this area has proven beyond reasonable doubt that it begins to minimize some of the challenges of the people that are in a gap market in our community, particularly some public servants such as the police, the nurses, the teachers, who are not accessing the low-cost housing programs and also who are struggling to access loans from different private sector companies to also form part of this and make sure that we deliver on the particular area. Also, as we know, this is also part of outcome 8 in terms of the targets that we have set for ourselves. So we'll continue to pay a special attention to this program on the year ahead. There is no doubt that the success of human settlements and with the understanding of its mandate, that intergovernmental and collaboration between the spheres of government plays a very important role, particularly in relation to also grants that relate to USDG and also the grant that we provide to provincial departments of human settlements, our implementation agents on various programs. So we need to better coordinate and improve intergovernmental collaboration and coordination. And one of the key areas that the program management unit will be responsible for is to make sure that we sustain that relationship and we develop a very coordinated approach in managing the programs through the business plans that we are just about to finalize with our various strategic implementation agents and municipalities that are working with us on various programs. And that also includes the sanitation program, which municipalities are also responsible for delivering on the ground. So this particular area, Chair, will pay special attention, and I must say that it gives one a great pleasure that we'll be stabilizing program management unit, this being one of the key areas of functionality for us to be able to coordinate our business plans and the programs that we're doing with different spheres of government. We also want to continue with our normal programs that run as a department, which relate to youth formations, to women formation, and also a program that started to Ishwan Settlement. This morning, Chair, you have seen that I was also invited to attend a meeting called by President where we are dealing with the issue of the mining of towns in relation to our response with the challenges that have been faced by various private sector and government agencies in dealing with the program. Fortunately, we have started the Ishwan Settlement program, which was basically talking to private sector, in particular the mining companies, and trying to develop a model of delivery where we can work together with them. This program will be highlighted in the next financial year. Today, different departments we are here are meeting to finalize the model of delivery to deal with this particular area. Our responsibility as a department is to simply build on the issue and settle one program which was dealing with this, but the Treasury has also set aside a specific budget to deal with the mining issues, particularly where the mining comes, and make sure that from a human settlement point of view, we have a targeted number of units to be delivered, working with the affected companies. Our monitoring chair will continue, as I've alluded to make sure that the quality on delivery of our human settlements. I don't want to dwell much on the challenges we have been facing in the past, and make sure that there's value for money through the PMU unit. We will put some systems in place. This will be one of the key things to do, which the DDG PMU will be dealing with, in ensuring that there's value for money for what government is giving to this sector, and make sure that we are putting systems in place to monitor and make sure there's accountability for the implementation of our human settlements. This is one area that has been lacking in the past. So proper monitoring will be required, and this unit will be solely responsible for that across the spheres, across the implementing agents, across the municipalities, across human settlements, institutions that we'll be working with to make sure that our outputs that we have set and targets are accordingly implemented, and there's value for money that the department is providing in those areas. Obviously, to achieve all of this care requires a certain value system that we need to inculcate within our own systems, within our own employees, within ourselves, within different partners we work with, and central to that is accountability. That's one very important area that we want to improve on. AG is here, and I'm sure all of us, we have heard the report presented by the AG that there is a lack of accountability in many institutions of government, and as the human settlement sector would like this value to be sustained, to be improved, we have our own program of ensuring that various audit queries that have been raised by the AG through East Management Letter, there's a proper action plan to deal with that, to make sure that we account for every cent, for every project that we do, so that one value system. Obviously, fairness and equity become central as part of our constitution, and quality and affordability remains very key, particularly for programs that are relating to the low-cost housing projects, where we must make sure that affordability is not lost. Sustainability remains central in terms of outcome 8, in terms of the new approach for housing development. We are promoting sustainable human settlements, and we'll continue to make sure that whatever projects we do within the sector are sustainable, and people who must benefit to that are also enjoying that element. Here, one of the areas that we are trying to begin to incorporate in our strategy of deliveries, innovation and technologies. We know for a fact that there are quite a number of alternative methods that can be used to deal effectively with the social backlog. And we want to be a little bit much more aggressive in ensuring that we don't focus on one aspect of our delivery, but we begin to attract alternative methods that are, of course, tested to our institutions such as CSIR, SABS, and NHVRC in ensuring that we use alternative technology, but our communities are not using guinea pigs for business people. Would like to be a little bit aggressive on this one. I don't think we've done enough. We did a conference on alternative technology in the human settlement sector, but implementation and in the specifications of what could be done, I don't think we've been aggressive enough. Would like to provide a much more leadership on that aspect. But to be the principle remains central. We believe that human settlements, there's serious focus on it, and we must treat our people with respect and dignity, and our approach to that will remain as it has been. Finally, Chair, before I ask Neville to deal with budget program structure for the department for the next financial year, that gives you just a picture of our organogram, which you are aware of. It gives you a better coordinated structure, as I've already indicated, that what you see there is not aligned with the budget structure that has been approved. I'm still in negotiations with the DG. Our view as a department at the moment is that it should be ideal that we have a budget structure that is aligned to the organizational structure. we are dealing with that aspect, because what we have put here in Swaziland is a budget that is informed by our national treasury. But departmentally, as a structure we have, we will be doing an assessment of how our strategy has worked, turnaround strategy. We'll be doing an assessment of how our structure has been aligned, how functions have been, and also, most importantly, what capacity, what skills, what competencies in the structure we need to make sure that we're able to live within the mandate and the strategic plan that we're putting to you. That's an ongoing exercise we'll be doing, and where we need additional capacity internally, or skills development internally, or de-skilling, to make sure that we have the right skills, we do so. I think part of yesterday's program of launching a human settlements academic arrangement is begin to say what relevant skills do we need that people must have as part of our capacity for deliver on our human settlements mandate. And we'll continue to do that. And we'll be also making sure that within our own structure we take our own respective colleagues in different branches to attend relevant programs that could empower them to be able to perform better and improve on our performance as a human settlement sector, because to a certain degree it's quite a very complicated discipline and it can't be taken for granted. So the launching of a program yesterday is meant to begin to highlight how important this discipline is and make sure that we continuously train people to be geared towards achieving our mandate and the goals that we have set for ourselves. So with your permission, I would like now to get into different programs that appear on our strat plan, the purpose of each program, and I'll ask our EDG Strategy and Learning, Mr. Neville Chen, to take us through that, and thereafter the CFO will also attend to matters of financial information. Chair and honourable members, I thank you.
Thanks, DG. Chairperson, members of the committee. Chair, as indicated by the DG, we've got four programs, and those four programs are as outlined in the next following slide. The first one is Program 1, which is administration, and that covers your strategic leadership, administrative support services. It's the general one, and it's better outlined in copies of the ENE as well as the strat plan. Program 2 is human settlement policy, strategy and planning, and that manages the development and compliance with the human settlement delivery frameworks, as well as your integrated strategic and planning services that covers the policy, strategy and planning in relation to that. Program 3 is the program delivery support, and that includes the program management unit, and includes or supports the execution of the human settlements program, as well as projects, and includes the household sanitation program, which is now a fully functional unit within the department. And then program 4 is the housing development finance, and that's the funding and monitoring of all the delivery of housing and human settlements programs. And that includes the oversight of public entities, so the entities that present next week are covered under this. Chair Committee, as indicated by the DG, just gives us a sort of summary of what the strategic priorities are, and this is embedded particularly in the delivery agreement. And Chair, we're also fortunate that a lot of the issues that are raised here are covered also within the National Development Plan under Chapter 8. And obviously, during the course of the year, as indicated by the DG in the strategic overview, we'll better align some of those things. But by and large, we're quite on track. So, I mean, at a point, you'll be able to also notice that with the National Development Plan. The key performance indicators, Chair, and this is where the rubber hits the road. Your indicators there, the number of additional municipalities, and that's the accreditation issue, number of municipalities provided with technical assistance for informal settlement upgrading, the number of additional residential units, Chair, and that is in relation to the sites and services. So the last two columns on this slide, if you go to the projected 13-14, Chair, you'll see that projected in terms of number of residential units to be completed is 132,705, and then the number of service sites that Greenfield is 77,248. So that's what's projected. Chair, in relation to this, you know that after we present our strategic plan to you, we normally come back to you with the provincial business plan, which gives you the operationalization within provinces. And obviously, we're giving you the big figure here, so when we come back, you can align that to what the provinces or what we present to you in provincial and the national business plan. Then also, Chair, as we've indicated by the DG, the number of households upgraded in well-located informal settlements. Our projected there for this financial year is 62,752. Chair, we also, if you look at the next one, it's the number of additional hectares of land prepared for human settlements. We're looking at approximately 2,000 hectares there. And then the number of additional loans granted in the affordable housing segment, that's 63, and that covers your NHSC, Nurture, together with RALF. And then the number of households provided with on-site sanitation, particularly in rural areas, and the projected day is 11,000. So that's four. I mean, the three figures to the extreme right gives you the MTEF targets for the year. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, if you allow me, let me indicate while acknowledging the protocol as well, the funding part of us funding the strategy. And Chair, while I indicate that the strategy that has been tabled by the DDG strategy and planning, it is also in line with the budget structure, or rather the estimate of national expenditure. But Chair, must also indicate that while we acknowledge that this is not in line with whatever we wanted as a department in terms of the organizational structure, all the programs are embedded within these programs, and they are actually divided into four. Chair, as indicated, and in the ENE, and as approved, and as indicated even in the Standing Committee of Appropriations last Chair, we presented the budget to the same committee and to the members of the current committee that were present in that committee. We indicate, Chair, that in line with the ELE, the current allocation for 2013 is 28.1 in contrast to the 25.1 billion that we had in the current year that is ending 31st March 2013. Now, over the MPF in the outer year, Chairperson, the 32.7 billion covers the departmental operational budget as well as the funding to the human settlement priorities as well as the USDG. Okay, if one looks at the current scenario of the 2013-14 budget versus what we had in 2012-13, a slight improvement of a 3 billion has been increased or has been added in the budget, and that takes an approximate 10.7% of the increase in our budget. But Chair, as you would also notice that this is only related to the USDG as well as the HSDG in particular. The increase may not be high, but it is slight, but we also acknowledge the fact that institutions just like the Social Housing Regulator has also received additional funding from the operational budget and from the capital restructuring grant that supports the social and rental housing. Next slide. Chair, the next slide is the graphical presentation in line with the pie chart. And I think the indication that we're trying to show here is that 60% of the 28 billion goes to the Human Settlement Development Grant and followed by our USDG. The 7.9% is divided into the transfers to our institutions, the Rural Infrastructure Housing Development Grant that takes at least 1% of the 28 billion, and the 0.7% that goes to all the administration, including the last, which is the Housing Development Finance, in terms of the operational budget. So that takes care of our administration and operational budget in line with the approved budget structure. But I think the embassy on this one is that our operational budget takes the form of plus minus 5%, if not less than 5% of the allocation of 28.1 billion. And the rest of the money, which is at approximately 96.5%, goes to our
human settlement development grant and transfer to municipalities. Next slide, please. Chair, this is just a form of the transfer that we show that we would normally report separately and that we would give to our institutions, including our provinces as well as our metros. As indicated, Chairperson, that 60% that goes to SDG takes the form of 16.9 billion and the highest followed by the grant, the USDG grant at 9 billion. And as I indicated, Chairperson, our social and rental housing regulator, which is SRA, actually takes the form of another 100 million, subdivided into the operational budget and capital restructuring grant as indicated earlier on. And our nature in this instance is receiving for the last of its MTF from the previous 2 years, 100 million. So we will have to renegotiate and come up with another business case for the next MTF of 2030, if rather next financial year of 2014-15, moving forward to 15-16. Otherwise, we will have a situation where our nature would not have our operational budget moving forward. So the 100 million is for the transfer of this financial year. Chair, from the 6.9 billion that I indicated earlier, the Human Settlement Development Grant, it is divided, Chairperson, into 9 provinces. But I must emphasize, Chairperson, because at some stage during the year, we would have some changes, if not some amendments, to what the following year figures in terms of the census figures that have been approved. We are working closely with National Treasury on that issue, and that will have an impact in our 2014 MTF moving forward. However, in 2013-14, the current allocation still stands at the current allocation formula that is known and approved by our previous NMEC, if not our previous housing department then. So we have not actually changed the figures. They still stand at the current allocation formula, and the amount goes to 16.9, with our highest budget going to housing, followed by our KZN. And we all know that the lowest of which one we always indicate to say it takes 395 to fund priorities in Northern Cape in this financial year. There is a slight improvement, however, as we all know that the province on its own has its own challenges in terms of the dynamics of proximity and distances, so much more money is needed. So the provision of the next allocation formula will also look, including the census figures that we have from the state of South Africa, will probably provide an improvement as far as Northern Cape is concerned. Next slide, Chair, indicates the definition of what human settlement grants provide in terms of funding. And we all know that it has its goal of creating the sustainable human settlements across the sphere of the housing and the quality of life that we provide to the household. However, it also provides the human settlement priorities as alluded to by the DDG strategy and planning in support of our Outcome 8. Chair, we must actually also emphasize the fact that Outcome 8 on its own has actually taken a toll on the budget of the department because it was introduced without followed by funding. So within the very same 16.9 and the budget that we've been having over the past years, as indicated, it had not included funding for Outcome 8. So we had to maneuver within the same budget to provide for Outcome 8. And the greater expectation of the whole exercise of Human Settlement Development Grant and its goal is for us to have our improved rates of employment as well as skill development in the delivery of infrastructure and links to that. Chair, I think it's also fair to also indicate again to the House that within the very same 16.9 billion, the model that we adopted in 2010, we are still using it. The top slicing of the 100% into 80-20, whereby the 20% is targeted and has been targeted to fund the human settlement national priorities, including the funding of Outcome 8. So in general, we're seeing how human settlement programs or housing programs at a national perspective. Okay, I think that the rationale for us coming up with the 20% was for us to actually give effect to fund the Outcome 8 as it was never funded. Over and above that, we actually had some national priority projects and in the form of programs whereby almost 8 of them were identified and housing taking again, a high toll of four provinces, I mean four projects, with the highest going to referring. So, Chair, with all these and indication is that all these being a priority programs are receiving a separate monitoring mechanism and a reporting structure. Essentially, we are saying we are actually giving ourselves another and over and above the monitoring mechanism that we have, a priority over these priority programs. So, Chair, an amount of 1.1 billion from the 20% is being allocated to national priority programs. And the rest follows the issue. The next slide, Chair. The outcome 8, as indicated, is the issue of the upgrading of informal settlement, the rent requisition that takes 5% of the 20%, and funding of the rental and social housing program that takes at least 35% of the 20% from the 100% chairperson. Chairperson, I think the idea for us is just to upgrade delivery on this, as we all know that we're actually heading towards 2040 for us actually to have an improved performance of outcome 8 and showing results as well as the delivery on the ground in as far as our targets and purposes, if not outputs related to outcome 8 are concerned. The next slide, Chair, talks to the HSDD allocation, but in the event, and as actually tabled again and as it was read to the members in terms of the grant framework, that SIG Metros would, and I think I'm using the term would sparingly, because should we find ourselves providing assignment or the level 3 accreditation to these metros, these are the adjustment amounts that we would, as national department, transfer to the metros, in exception of the two, because these are the ones that are in the pipeline of receiving the accreditation of level 3 or the assignment, the level 3 assignment. So essentially, the 4.8 billion chairperson from the 28 billion and from the provinces, and in line again, chairperson, with the allocation formula, will be transferred directly to the metropolitan, over and above the USDG that goes directly to the metropolitan as indicated, in section of the two chairperson. Chair, the next slide talks to the excess that we took from the draft business plan, and the FSC chairperson at this point in time is still a draft because it hasn't been signed off yet by the Director General. We have received all the business plans from provinces. We have actually provided a submission which is under scrutiny between myself and the DDG as for the current prior to it being signed by the DDG. Just was to determine exactly what we want to see in the business plan and what we have always wanted to achieve, whether it's in the business plan of this financial year chairperson. And these are some of the extracts that we took away from the financial intervention, particularly program from the business plan. And this is where we're indicating to say some provinces, and not all of them, have actually provided funding and budgeted for, if not provided an indication of units of targets that will be achieved through the credit link individual subsidy. The finance link individual subsidy that we always talk about, that we want to see program, and we always know that it does not actually give, it's not always given a credit that it deserves. For this financial year, provinces have actually budgeted 239. And here the emphasis is just on the issue of the draft. Because our emphasis when we were meeting with the provincial treasurers, provincial departments, the indication was that this be upscaled because it will not actually reach its target of the 600,000 households that we intend to reach by 2014 in terms of the outcome aid. So the DG spoke of the rectification program and its strategies in all, and only 686 million has been actually provided by provinces and across the budget plan of this financial year. 93% of our budget in terms of the HSDG will actually form part of the support to municipalities. And this will be over and above the program chairperson in our own operational budget in terms of NAS, but this will actually be from the Provincial Human Settlement Fund. Okay, it goes further to the block projects, and then we talk to the issue of the rental and social housing over and above the 1 billion that I indicated. We did indicate chairperson to say, while we are earmarking 1 billion for rental and social housing, it's not supposed to be limited. So provinces have actually listened on this event and have scaled the amount at least to 1.6 billion. Land parcels to the value of 278 will be purchased in this financial year through the business plan that has been provided. And there's also an issue that is talking to our upgrade of informal settlement, which is through the program of incremental housing. It takes an amount of 86,000 housing units and 69 to check it in. And Trevor indicated this amount needs to be checked against what the DDG had presented earlier in line with the EME, because those are the figures that have been approved, and those are the projections. So when we review and assess again business plan to be signed by the DDG, we need to align these figures to what the EME is saying. And then we know that rural housing is one of the programs that we need to give it a priority again in all those areas. And I think the best amount in this financial year is the 2.7 that is set aside in those areas within this financial year. So the current challenges, as expected again, from all the areas that we've been working with provinces throughout the year, rather, we've actually picked up Shepperton as we were monitoring and doing our evaluations with provinces. Some of the challenges that actually obstruct did not actually disturb the service delivery along the lines. The major one, Shepperton, which affects most of the provinces that do not have the USDG, the issue of the lake and bulk, and link infrastructure Shepperton to implement the projects. And we also acknowledge the fact that there are delays in the supply chain management processes. And I think the issue of capacity Shepperton we've been talking about for some other time. In some or instances, there's also an inadequate medium and long-term pipeline planning. And Chair, as you all know, with all these, and these are not limited Shepperton, some of them, there are a number of problems that provinces are experiencing, and that we've actually noticed. With all that has been said, we have put over and above what the DG has indicated in his strategic overviews as strategies that will address some of the challenges that we have experienced. We've put some interventions, Shepperton. And the major one, Shepperton, and I think we've been talking about, for us to actually cap and eliminate the issue of the bulk infrastructure. And I must indicate to the House that we've also spoken to Treasury about the issue of the bulk grant being funded and the need not being enough to reach out to some of the projects that do not have bulk and leading to those projects not actually starting on time and leading to some of the project end being blocked before they even start. And as indicated, is the issue of bulk. So the suggestion was that we also extend the USDG. So negotiations are underway, as we indicated. And there's also a suggestion that we also look at the HSDG. Should there be any possibility for us to make an amendment to our housing code, that within the approval of us and then NIMNEC and presenting to National Treasury that we could use the HSDG to fund, in the event that the USDG is not stretched yet to those provinces, the issue of the bulk and link infrastructure. Shepperton, the issue of the procurement and project management plan, there has been some debates with provinces and municipalities, and some thoughts have been put in terms of how some strategies in as far as the planning and the long-term planning and the upfront planning of projects that will actually be in line with the early start of the procurement for us to be able to begin, especially planning before March and actually beginning the project in April, for them to actually realize the spending, at least and noticeably in 3 months. Shepperton has also indicated, we also indicated our HSS as being a challenge, and then we are emphasizing and indicated to our provinces that they think there's a very high need of utilization of HSS to administer and report on all the settlements, delivery program and processes. And here we have also acknowledged that it is a system challenge that we find ourselves in not being able to even identify some of the projects that are anywhere in the system that we as national are not in a position to see. Chair, the next slide is just the technical work that has been undertaken by the department, and it's just a process, Chairperson, until the issue of us having the grant framework that has been approved in line with the division of 2013 dollar bill. So, Chair, this is just some technical work that has been undertaken by the department in line with the processes. The USDG, Chair, and its goal, and the major part of it, and the challenges that we've been having. Much as we indicated, Chairperson, to say that we will provide the House with the specific report on the USDG of the previous financial year, we acknowledge the fact that we will have to tighten our monitoring and evaluation mechanism on the issue of the USDG and pay. And I think as we are going through the year with our audit committee and internal audit, we have picked up that it is not acknowledging that USDG has not actually been monitored sufficiently enough and the challenges that we had with municipalities. However, we do accept the fact that it has its own purpose and we have to actually analyze it and read it more carefully to say what is it that the USDG is supposed to be doing. But no essential liquor person is its supplement to the investment, and this is where we are acknowledging the fact that it may not actually buy what we want because of the fact that it has to stretch the investment at the municipalities in general. But it has some outcomes that it needs to be noticeable to a chairperson in this financial year. You can move diligence. Chair, we have introduced over and above the objectives that we have as far as the USDG is concerned. And chairperson, I think of the utmost importance is the fact that over and above the Built Environment Performance Plan, there's an introduction of a performance metric that we have actually embedded within the plan. And the rationale for that was for us to be able to identify some of the projects and be able to report specifically on the issues, if not the targets, that we want to see and as indicated in our turnaround strategy of the USDG, as far as the USDG is concerned. So that performance metric actually talks to the issues related to also the SDVIB, IP chairperson, and I think on that note, chairperson, as a strategy moving forward in monitoring the USDG, we want to indicate that we will be in a better position to be an enabler, or the matrix on its own will enable us to better report even to all the structures that the USDG is actually intending to have. And chair, the objectives are very clear. And among others, the issue of the development of the urban land and infrastructure, as well as the investment that I indicated earlier on within the built environment. Chairperson, the USDG allocations to municipalities, they take a form of a 9.1 billion, to be precise, and that goes to all our 8 metros, other than the 6 that I mentioned, or the 2 which Mangalung and Nelson Mandela Chairperson. I think sorry, it's the Buffalo City chairperson that will not actually receive the accreditation of level 3. In total, there are 8 chairpersons. So the 9 billion divided into housing taking again a high amount of 4.4 billion chairpersons and 1.3 going to Eastern Cape and KZN taking another 1.5. And Chairperson, if you look at these figures and the figures that are presented earlier on in terms of the HSDG allocation that goes to metros, and again, Chairperson, in terms of the HSDG allocation that goes to provinces, they talk to the same issue of the allocation formula that we use as a Department of Human Settlements. The next slide, Neville. Chair, I think the slide we just needed to take off, and we presented it as one of the slides that we indicated that these are issues that we pick up from our USDG and the challenges, Chairperson, and approaches to that that we experience with metros. But this is a slide that we also show to members to say it is a stepping stone, and this is where we're going to start today. In line with the general strategy that we presented to the portfolio committee, to the MINEC, as well as to the metros, we are still not receiving the outcome or the output as intended as far as USDG delivery performance. Hence, the issue of the performance matrix that is embedded to the Built Environment Plan. So if you allow me, I will hand over back to the DDG. Thank you. For now.
Thanks, thanks, Chair. Chair, just in relation to the challenges, particularly in relation to the USDG, there's lack of coordination and alignment experienced within metros. So within metros, you have these kinds of challenges of coordination and alignment. So it's not between province and municipalities, but it's within departments. So you have a human settlements department competing with other departments. And there's also the lack of capacity to carry out program plans. critical vacancies. Chair, we did indicate that I think as we sit here now, last count there were four of the eight metros, four of them didn't have or have acting HODs in their human settlements departments. There's the lack of acquisition, land acquisition challenges and limited land, in particular in relation to proximity of city centres, so the cities are not undertaking the special restructuring we want. Multi-year projects are budgeted for in one financial year due to inadequate planning of projects. Here we're talking about the fact that, you know, they want to do everything in one year, and this creates a problem. So there's, you know, they over-promise and under-deliver. So that's the issue. Lengthy procurement processes, again, I mean, it was indicated, I think, something like 13 months was the average that it takes, which you said. Then there's legal challenges, tenders being contested in court. In one of the metros, every tender issued in respect of human settlements has found itself in court. Management and governance of informal settlements, so those issues are not being dealt. What have we done as a department? There's an improved alignment and coordination in implementation of the USD. Excuse me. So we've encouraged, and I think we're achieving that level of coordination between the USDG and the HSDG. We're not there yet, but we're almost there. Capacity constraints are being addressed through the city support program, and that's been funded by National Treasury, and there's a substantial amount of money that's been made available by Treasury for that. And then the metros have been encouraged to appoint officials on a full time. And then land acquisition management has been improved, and the HDA is assisting in this regard. Conducting project readiness and attaching lists of projects as addendums to the performance metrics. So for this year, Chair, we've asked them that they must submit business plans, and again, the process that we undertake with the provinces, we'll come back to you again. And then councils to develop program plans aligned to procurement, so you don't have this kind of situation where there's no alignment between procurement. You know, we give people a three-year budget, so they should have an understanding of what those projects are at hand. And then the national and provincial support for land acquisition, informal settlement, you've seen as part of our USDG, our HSDG, that we are providing that. And there's the policy formulation that we are providing as well. In relation to this, what have we done as a department? We've presented a turnaround strategy to improve spending for the council. This has been presented to the Technical Amendment Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements. There's a performance matrix that we've developed. There's been consultation with Treasury. So we're looking at ways in which we assist metros. So alignment of you know, there's not all this, because one of the points they've raised was they have to report to us, they have to report to Treasury, they have to report to Presidency. We've coordinated the reporting, so as national, there's a coordinated one point of reporting. And then National Treasury have introduced National Safety Support Program, and there's substantial money that's been there. The support process is in place for the USDG based on what we've achieved. The DG is directed that there's quarterly oversight visits between the CFO audit unit together with monitoring under the PMU unit. The quarterly reviews that we conduct with the metro. There's monthly expenditure analysis and quarterly feedback to individuals, so one-on-one, notwithstanding a collective one, but it's there. And then regular review and program policy support with sector departments, and this includes the City Budget Forum with National Treasury, DPME, Outcome 9 with Department of Cooperative Governance. We've introduced, and you know, we're funding the NUS as well as the accreditation. So you'll see it's about pushing them in the right direction, other than wanting to do the RIP. Chair,
thank you very much once again. This is Okay, Chair, I think the most important thing to indicate in this slide is the awaiting of the decision that the standing committee has taken in as far as the RIT is concerned, from changing from 5B to 6B. And I think, Chair, with all that we indicated today, if a decision turns to be positive, we will still manage as a department and look at the agencies in as far as appointing on the amount of 106 as well as the 118 in the last outlier of 15 in terms of the allocation. But I must emphasize, Chairperson, that given what we have here, the allocation for this financial year was also affected as a drop in terms of the cost savings that we had during our negotiations during the MPEP process. So I think the neckline talks to the division of all the 106 and over MPEP rather, to all the municipalities in terms of the units and in line with the needs of that particular municipality's chairperson. And I think Chair has indicated in the standing committee with department members being there, we are waiting, chairperson, the finalization of the recommendation, and then I think the scenario will change, chairperson, in terms of us allocating the 106 million, if not the 108 million MTEF, towards those municipalities, and probably the strategy, chairperson, will change. And I think I can hand over to the DG, chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chair members, for your patience to our comprehensive presentation. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay, all of the members are invited to interact with the presentation. On the last one, I would suggest that let's not focus much more on the last item that has been presented. But now, what we are expecting from you, you relate to sanitation function that has been allowed. This household sanitation that is highlighted at the beginning of your presentation, rather than focusing on this one. You've got money. In terms of your mandate on administering the household sanitation, I think that could be the best if you can indicate to us what is your plan on that one. But okay, let me give the members to comment. Honorable Steve, Honorable Masheshe, Honorable Stole, Honorable Doyce, Honorable Bula, and then Pat.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks to the DG. Let me abuse this platform and comment on the appointment of the new DDG. And
before I comment, I forgot. You are welcome to be part of it. Because you are still the part of the management family. But you are more than welcome.
Abuse.
Yeah, well, the abuse will be minimal because of you've already diluted it. Let me welcome you. And just indicate that thank you for doing a good job in the Western Cape. I think your legacy will live on because, you know, housing is a complex mandate. And the Western Cape, complex as it is with its geopolitics, I think you've navigated it very well. And thank you very much for the wonderful work you've done. And we would welcome you to the national sphere. To me, you are the new sleeve of quality assurance. Much will be expected from you in making sure that we get ready for money and quality. You are the new NHBRC, in-house NHBRC. And we haven't been taking cash to the NHBRC, so we hope that you do a better job than them. And welcome, and we have no doubt definitely that you are going to do a good job because this is a critical post that we need. And thank you for taking the challenge, and welcome. I think, like I said, we welcome the report. There is so much to go through here. All right, the issue of the targets.
The challenge we are having is that the budget is increasing, but the target is decreasing. How do we marry the two? Because of, as you know, the FSC and other commentators have commented on this issue of targets. Are we setting ourselves high targets that we do not achieve? Because I don't want to sit next year again and sit with the same problem that you've given us for the past 2 weeks, where we've got $4 billion that would not be spent. And so how have you managed? Because of, I see you've done well in saying you want to align and make sure that there is alignment in terms of everything that you are doing, which is a good step. But I'm still worried about the targets. Are they realistic? Are they viable? And can they be achievable? And can we meet them with the budget as proposed? Secondly, it's on the issue of land. You see, we always talk about this land acquisition. Where is this land acquired from? And how many units have we built in this land? Because it's looking as if we are saying we are talking about land, but we are acquiring some land in some rural Eastern Cape and rural KwaZulu-Natal that's of no value. Why do we always struggle with land closer to the inner cities? Prime land. Why can't we get prime land and why can't we have projects in those prime lands? So the issue of accreditation. Now we're going to be dumping a lot of money on these municipalities, and some don't have level 3 accreditation. And did you know my comment when it comes to this accreditation and capacity building? Now we are saying we want to give them the HSDG directly. They've got the MIG, they've got the USDG. How are we going to make sure that they spend this fund? Because for us, the most important is not about putting these funds on the table, but it's about spending them and having the capacity to spend them. And I'm very much worried and reluctant when it comes to, the term we always use, fiscal stability. And if we are to move in housing, why don't we cut red tape? Why does it still take 3 years for 50 units of RDP houses to be developed? From land assembly to the happy letter, why does it take so many? What are we doing in terms of cutting red tape? We always complain about, private sector getting involved in human settlement, but we know much of the problem is about red tape that we have. And I see you've documented it as one of the problems in terms of supply chain management and the capacity, but we are not saying what are we going to do in making sure that red tape is addressed. I would also agree with Chair that this RIP, we need to align it with sanitation. We know it's a special intervention program, but we at some point we have to move where we marry it with sanitation in total. And we are still awaiting the legislation from yourself that will ensure that we holistically swallow sanitation as one of our land functions. So I would like to see you doing that. And this unit of the PMU, I think it should be welcomed because essentially it's about quality assurance and making sure that things are done and things are happening. And I like this thing of saying you're going to have the CEO and the PMU unit and the audit going on the ground to verify so that things are happening on the ground. So that one we say thumbs up to you. Chair, let me pause there and give my colleagues.
Thank you, Chairperson, and welcome, DDG. And then my question is based on slide 22 on the Northern Cape on the allocation. And then I heard the CFO said that the Northern Cape is vast. And sorry. I said my question is based on slide 22, where the CFO talks about Northern Cape that the because of the vastness of the Northern Cape, it will need more money. I just want to check when, because the allocation is too small there. And then again on slide 29, on the rural housing program, about the allocation 2.7 billion, I just want to check how much is in how much is the allocation in each of the provinces, the breakdown. Can I just be clarified on that one? And then slide 33, they talked about the USDG. When we've been doing the oversight, we checked that most of the metros don't know how to use this USDG. I'll be happy if maybe you come on a specific, you might know what to use for this USDG. And then lastly, on slide 39, you talk of the challenges. I'm just concerned about the legal challenges there on the tenders. Don't we have any guidelines to stop these legal challenges? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I welcome the report because it really helped us, actually. But my interpretation is on slide number 11. The first one is on slide number 11. If you check the chairperson, we have six acting. My concern is how long are they going to act? Because this acting sometimes it doesn't help the development. And the other one, chairperson, is on slide number 14. On slide number 14, I'm thinking of 400 household. Is it 400 or 4,000? 400,000. Only 400. 400,000. Okay, because here it's just only 400. And the other one, chairperson, on the same one, is the return of National Park Infrastructure Program and increased access to basic services. Chairperson, I'm quite concerned about the Orange Farm. I was in the Orange Farm last week. The crisis in Orange Farm is increasing in the infrastructure, park infrastructure. And the other one, chairperson, is on slide number 16, I don't know what, if I can be clarified, Jefferson, if they see this one, the number 2, municipality provided with technical assistance for informal sector mitigating per year, if they can make a breakdown per province, because it's 2010, 2011, but it doesn't give us the idea if they can give us the area. That's slide number 24. Slide number 24, the president. Here, chairperson, on slide number 24, in Gauteng, my concern, chairperson, is that all the projects are in the city of Johannesburg. All these projects are in the city of Johannesburg. What about other metrics? What about Tswane? What about Ekurhuleni? Because these projects are in only the one that is Kutsong, but the most of them are in the city of Johannesburg. It means the priority is just city of Johannesburg. And the other one, chairperson, is this one, slide number 36. Slide number 36, chairperson, is just the content from my side, because if you check here in KwaZulu-Natal, the priority is just Etegwin. But we have district. There's nothing that has been said here about the district. If they can give us some clarity on the district, because if you see Etegwin, this 1. Something billion or million for Etegwin only. But what about other areas?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to join my friend in thanking the department for the presentation, Chairperson. On the USDG, we have seen that most of these metros are unable to utilize this grant accordingly. And on that slide, the allocations seem to be increasing. So, what are the reasons for that? Because you cannot give me money and I'm not using this money and you keep on allocating more budget on this one. So what are we saying to the metros? Are we tempting them to use this money for other things or what? So is that I just want to understand the reason behind the increment of this allocation. And also,
I think, Chairperson, maybe we should have a meeting one day when we come back in April, where the department will have to present to us on the rectification program. I think that will assist the committee to understand more, because our research unit found that 150-something thousand units were rectified for 3-point-something billion rands. Then again, 6,000 units rectified for 1.03 billion rands. Yet here the department is saying there are plans for rectification programs in all provinces, which will cost 686 million. So my question in this regard is, how many units are going to be rectified with this small amount of money in all these provinces? I think that's an important question.
Thank you, Chairperson. The DG had alluded to the issue about the diagnostic report and the alignment to the NDD. I see a glaring visibility of strategic planning around achieving those ultimate desired outcomes. I think that is very, very positive. But what is more commendable is that the department is very frank about the challenges. And in order for us to achieve this ultimate desired big plan that we speak of, the NDP, we have to deal with these issues. We can sit here the whole day and whole night and speak about these issues, but if we don't put precautionary measures in place, like for example, we have the issue about capacity, we are not going to achieve all of these issues that you illustrate that you are having problems with. And we must commend your plan of action coming up with positivity. Well, of course, we welcome the DDG, but now we hear the good work done by or in the Western Cape. However, Chairperson, the IEP is my protected chair. Chairperson, however, that much of the infrastructure and the development was already, you know, in progress in Western Cape. In comparison to, you know, the challenges we are experiencing in KwaZulu-Natal. And I'm glad that the Honourable Member may mention about these things. And, you know, it begs me to actually refer with the issue of the formula, that our land, our terrain is very, very hilly, and that we must move and put every focus on the formula to speak to the problem of how we have to deliver our houses. And therefore, if we send that, then I would gladly wish that Western Cape allocation, some of it could go to KwaZulu-Natal. Lastly, we are the Durban Parliament. Lastly, the issue of the list, and I'm glad that was brought on public, that brought out very, very frankly. That needs to be tackled. We need to disseminate the information. Perhaps maybe we could get some of your awareness programs, your advocacy programs that can also align it with us, and we could also disseminate the kind of information to community. I want to stop here. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just want to alert the new DDG for the Western Cape that I am from the Western Cape, and also say welcome. Just my question is on page 14, the block projects. I just want maybe the department to give us a breakdown of which provinces are in the process of procuring land and where this land is and whether this land is actually identified within the SDF. And within the development that it is identified in the IDPs. You don't have to maybe comment on that now, but if it could come to us in written form, that will be appreciated. Then just a second one is, You spoke on page 16 with regard to the MEEC funds. There was a presentation that the department brought to our attention. It seems as if municipalities are confused between the MEEC fund and the REIT fund. Could you maybe just comment on that? And in fact, the MEEC fund, or maybe just to clear that out for us, that we know that both are still there, and what is actually the difference between the two? I think I'll settle for that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The use of MEEC, teaching, I think now we need it, clarity. Because MEEC on those municipalities, also in the metro, it's meant for bio infrastructure. Now, there's quite a lot of infrastructure, in fact, service space for infrastructure. So, also a local municipality. Who can I infrastructure? Yeah. Infrastructure, libraries, the various infrastructure programs that have to be developed. Now the question is now, how much that has been set aside in terms of the allocation on Northern Standard for the provision of bulk infrastructure for human settlement development? Because now iyasohlula le nto uba sizawuba accountisa kanjani oomasipala in terms of human settlements, because thina we are an anchor portfolio committee that makes everyone to account. Now ngokuna sifuna ukuva kuni ke ngoku, when we go there sizothetha sitafrastethe sithi siba accountisa khona. The second point is these delivery agreements that are on slide 6 that has been signed by the minister. I'm having a problem on the delivery agreements as a whole. Wrong delivery agreements. It's good to put these on paper. But that is where I progress the delivery agreements. When you come back, as we are, we will debate the budget vote without an information, a clear, we not set up, because arrangements, there's anything, the how far in progress. Do you know what I have to answer? Is there any progress in terms of debate? The issue of approval of the organogram of the department. My understanding that it has been approved by the premier minister, because the department yet. But this structure has been approved by the Minister of Public Service and Administration, of which prior approving this act, she did consider the issues of budget, costing. Now, what makes a national treasury not to consider a budget? One reason why a budget is not considered to be aligned with the structure that has been affirmed, approved. So, because I need to know these things, that is the red tape and the legumes. I think this is very, very crucial. Another issue I want to talk to. I want to ask you to tell me what you're teaching. There was an occasion of mine to discuss this with me. You said to slide 7 on the issue. The following are key programs and projects activities for the period ahead. Fine. What we have bullet point 2, the implementation of the management of the rectification program by the department. No, we all know about that one. But then we have agreed on some of the issues
that you, from the recommendations that you took to make, there was only one recommendation that we disagreed upon. It's the aid of appointing a new agent. So it must be clear. Now, I have not mentioned what you have agreed, because we are quite fine. We have agreed that e-rectification program is the problem, the challenge. AMA provinces are not supporting this program. So we agreed with it must be centralized, but what we did not agree is the establishment of an agency that is going to manage. So we must be clear when we make a recommendation to the MINEC that the popular community is totally against that one. They are tired of creating agencies that are not working. So Katera is running for the agencies, those animals. We don't want any agency. There are people who have been appointed to do the job. They must do the job. That's it. Because that's why they didn't know that. If you never created this animal can be put in the air, you can have a source of a program. You have been in your budget. You have won the CRP. No. Disagree on this one. So you must be clear when you get to the recommendations to the MINMEC. If you are taking our windows, that's because I learned to be open my portfolio committee. Decision is that decision, and unfortunately, this portfolio committee, that agency, we are not going to approve it. And if you approve it, we must be clear that one. Improvement on social and rental housing units that you can improve, but don't forget the others. The informal settlements, upgrading, and land lease. Those are the key critical areas that you have to look at in this period. Then coming to slide 11. Yambabu, to finish here, and those are the last of the take away from the slide 11. What is the difference between strategy and planning? And then the fifth director, strategy. So it means, CIO. Now I'm not considering alone. What is CIO doing? Because now the more CIO, the more no chief director communication. Then as the more I hear Shanga, and so we need to clarify alone now. And then enterprise architect. What is this? What are they going to do? What is the duties of this, as well as the in the way investment, so I said, we need to get know the issue of what is the number of households living in informal settlement. Yesterday, members will remember, which is our presentation by Professor Fandik, of which course you need to get that representation for us. We got something else, but I am not saying it was, it's not that we know, but we need to know currently. When you bring the business plans for the provinces, I think most of the issues are going to be addressed, some of the issues of which you are going to come. Prepare yourself with the provinces and the municipalities that are going to be identified to come before the portfolio committee or the first week when we come back from the constituency period. Yeah, I think so. So those are the issues I think before I leave, I must raise. And then can you respond? And then don't comment on the issue of issues that are going to be presented during the business plan. But I think you must be specific. The issues that have been raised that are going to be addressed. Because I want, before I leave, it's 20 past now, but I want to talk to this State of the Nation address. That is why I'm rushing for.
or what I can do before I leave, let me allow the members to ask the questions. Doesn't matter if you respond if I'm not there. Honorable Machoba, Honorable Ndobe, Honorable Omen, those three.
Thanks. Mine is critical to us and all. But in the heading to what is heading or and the sanitation, somebody is looking having another branch. Very serious. And the second one, on slide 48, there is a rig allocation for is it with C41, but then 4.5 million, no, no, 4 million. Whereas I'm a party, and also Mosho, where we're given a 4 million. And then we ask you, where is it? You can show us one toilet which is there in the market. But it's not that it's been given money now. Whereas it's easy to have given money, but we don't know where is the time of the coin. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm partly covered by some of the points raised by other members, particularly on rectification. I've been covered by Honorable Lagote and yourself, Chairperson. The point about rectification is that we sit with this shoddy work that was done previously, and we just don't see any movement. You know, it just goes on from year to year. The other day here, there was a question to the Deputy Minister. Obviously, she had responded to the question, I think, sometime last year. Mrs. Tolle asked this question this year. And she did indicate that she had responded to the question. But one had to tell her that, look, questions will always come up as long as we don't see any action. That's why she may have answered the question, maybe satisfactorily at the time, but as long as we don't see what is going on, and the question will always continue to come up. Can I refer to slide 16, Chairperson? Slide 16, on indicators. I'm on the last two indicators, if you have the slide. The number of additional residential units to be completed and the number of sites to be serviced. I compare the figure for 2012-13 with the figure for the coming financial year, 1840. I find that in both cases, the figure is either almost double or almost tripled. In other words, you are suggesting that you are really going to improve. But my question is, what additional effort are you going to put into this to be able to achieve the indicators that you have indicated here for 2013 and 14? I hope you see that. The last two, both of them, is the same question. Now, on slide 38, Chairperson, you got this question about the difficulty in achieving land, in acquiring land near the town center. I've just been thinking, Chairperson, whether we are being realistic by insisting on this challenge, that it is not easy to find land in near town center. Are we being realistic in the sense that already the town centers in the cities in South Africa are full? There's no more land in the town center. So why can't we look at it the other way, to find land elsewhere, other than always hammering this point about it's difficult to find land, you know, for human settlement near the town center?
I mean, there is land. There are buildings, there are properties. So let's get, they must come back to say there is no public land. There is nothing. Let's not say for us there is no land. As members, we don't have to say that. They must come back and say there is no land, there is no property. We cannot justify the department's actions for not coming back to the portfolio committee, tell us there is no more land. We don't know because we are not yet the verification, land verification, we have not done it. So, can you answer another question, Mamdo? I'm sorry, because we can't talk about it. Because we can't justify that as members of parliament because we don't have information.
All right, so person, I'll leave it at that, but I think I still have a question, but I'll leave it due to my respect to you, Chairperson. Coming to slide 46, it's about the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant. Slide 46 is showing where the provinces are going to put up the sanitation program. I look at the Eastern Cape. I'm sure the chairperson and Honorable Matoba will agree with me that all those areas that are mentioned here, I know it's not probably the national issue, it's probably a provincial issue, but I just want you to be aware of it. Those are all based in the area of the Transkei. Now, the Transkei part of the Eastern Cape is actually the poorer region. When you look at the rural areas, I'm not talking about the cities, East London or PE, but the rural areas in the Transkei, there are some areas where there is stark poverty. And up to now, there are these areas where we do not see any action in terms of this program in those areas. So I just want to make the department to be aware that they are also waiting and hoping that one day these programs will come to them. Probably this is the question one can raise with the province as well. Yeah, all those areas that are there, they are all in the Transkei area. Nothing about the Transkei area. On the question of capacity, time and again in this presentation, you come across the capacity, lack of capacity, capacity development, and so on and so forth. Well, this is a very broad area, but complaints come back time and again from the department itself. But I think what we are interested in is to know what efforts the department itself is making to ensure that there is capacity building. We know it won't happen in 1 year, it won't happen in 2 years, but what plan is there to ensure that there is this capacity building? Whether you are talking of the personnel themselves, or whether you are talking of the municipalities, or whether you are talking of the provinces, I think in my opinion there ought to be a particular plan directed at human settlements, a program to ensure that this capacity is developed. Because one thing we have in the human settlements department compared to some other departments, there is resources, there is money in this department. But the question of capacity, it leaves us with the money and not with the products themselves. So what plan do we have to ensure that for this department, for its program, there is a plan to ensure that capacity is developed? I also wanted to know, Chairperson, as to which are these municipalities which are planned to be accredited. I think I am interested in that, just so that one can see whether the municipalities that we live in and so on are any part of this. Those that are going to be accredited, I would be happy to have them. In the question of the MIG, Chairperson, the Municipality Infrastructure Grant, I agree with you, but I think also here, it is a sign of the weak relationship between the different spheres of government. Because really, it is true that for better planning a settlement, for instance, it is better to see the infrastructure first. When you see the roads, the water is catered for, the electricity is catered for, before you see the actual houses. But that is not the responsibility of the Human Settlements Department to put up those roads, to put up that electricity, to connect the electricity, and to put the piped water. So it's a question of the different departments working together. And so, again, this goes back to planning. I don't know how you can achieve it, but for me, that is the weakness it shows. That the way the MIG is spent now, for instance, is making it difficult, as the chairperson says, for the committee to make them accountable, because we find that they do they perform functions which really are not their responsibility. But because they have the money and this thing has to be done, they take the money from this particular class. And yet the grant is meant for human settlement programs. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Chairperson, Father, you actually here today, so I'm going to be very brief because so much has been said. Can I just ask, when you are mentioning a few times about Treasury will supply, Treasury will give the money, does that mean it's extra in addition to our 28 billion when you say that, you know, Treasury are going to be supporting and assisting and giving? That's the one thing. The other thing I want to just mention that hasn't come up yet, and that is when you talk about the regarding the social and rental housing and the, you know, the focus there, I don't hear anything about beneficiary management, and I think that is going to be extremely important for us to pick up on that because we've got a big weakness here. So, and I'm not going to make a big speech about it. I'm just putting it on the table. Then also to say that I'm very pleased that the PMU is going to be giving us value for money. I want to also just refer to Cornubia as one of the projects. I think there's about 120 million being given there. And to say that, I don't know that we're moving fast enough on this, but the backlog is hitting 20. You know, there's 11,000, and I know, I'm just wondering how this management of this thing is going to happen, because there are land invasions galore there now. There are 11,000 people in temporary accommodation, this tin town that has sprung up, and 210,000 backlog. So I'm just alerting you as National Peace to keep an eye on that. And then I would like to know, in your policy department, how many policies are you currently working on that we still need to come before us so that we can monitor? And for the rest, I think it will come when the business plans, and my plea to you is, please don't come with business plans from the provinces that are not aligned to these big targets that you've got here as national, because we will interrogate that. It's no issue bringing it if it's not aligned, and then, you know, it's not going to work. Thanks.
I think the members did not have time to look at this document. I think I must read that. Our members, the phenomenon chief, and that, no, let's continue because we still have to engage. Someone's phenomenon from the election of Manasini Chiefs. The documents arrived on Monday in the afternoon. They're not supposed to arrive on Monday. We agree that the documents must get on Thursday because I'm a member of the SSA Parliament on Thursday. This staff of the Parliament can't develop our documents on Monday. This is our office in holds, our members. Our members are not there on Monday. Our members try to see on Tuesday. But I have a transport, I have education, I have a public interface, I have a local government. And I say, I'm not responsible for our documents about human settlement. If someone has about the meeting in national settlement, that is not fair. A long time ago, it was a cycle for Allah. Mazin is the guest, as he done the government to his. But I'm going to go on the same. The audience must say on this day, I'm a member, if a letter is actually happening, that's our valley, pa. Who speak? Up from the Petama documents, how at least. And that's the rest of the mere, oh, I'm going to do no subject, no content, nothing. Because what is the problem? No one emailed to add nothing up. I don't know where I document says, I'm going to go. So we have got challenges. So if you don't understand that, what are the challenges? And you tell us to understand what I'm a problem, but I'm not a challenge with the document. This is a long conversation on me. And the other issue I would like to respond on the disaster, houses that have been affected by disaster. What is the plan of human settlements to rebuild those houses? undertaken by the allocator, he is not and then normally allocator makes a progress. Nina, he people bring it because I want to know what is the power of poor. Rather than my negative, but my will is no, but he planning it on that one. The arm again was a fellow or a Doris, I don't think. And because we for the world of head, he is really, and he's going to go team. But before I made it clear the state of the nation address, made it clear who my issues are is there. The auditor general, he was able to respond to this. But before I leave, I've read this document here. Yeah, respond to the state of the nation address. But there are other issues that I believe that you have not addressed. One is the issue of I'm going to turn off my things and it's the issue of present care. There's a need for provision of renewable energy and solar geyser to all low cost houses. Low cost houses, which means it's still your responsibility. Uba ni kumati? It's your own baby. Nanzama ni zeni na iplani wuti. Nizo kumaranja nuklento. Out of this budget, you can't be able to do that, but what is the plan, what is the policy, what is the... You need to come up with a policy on that one, you need to come up with a plan, you also need to come up with the norms and standards, you also need to come up with the arrangement that you've done with other departments. So it's clear what is going on. Then the other area that we present, that's a thing like hostel conversion. I know that there's no specific in that area. Yala rental, social and rental. So I have any question again, what are you going to do with how many hotels in your plan that are going to be upgraded? Partnership with private sector, fine, which you talk department. Then the other issue, who president, who tells, lay mine workers ni responded. But there is an issue up for I think one of the government tackling policies that does the NDP. The other issue is about redressing the past apartheid social settlements planning and the need to develop national integrated urban development framework. I think you need to speak to those, you need to know what are you doing to make sure that the this issue is addressed, and the issue of an amount of 800 million on green economy. I think the Department of Human Settlements also plays a critical role, whether it's environmental affairs. But you need to know what is your role? Out of this cost, these are human settlements issues that are affecting human settlements. So I think if you can make it a point that you need to tell us, because there is a need to improve infrastructure, water roads and electricity infrastructure. Those issues are that they came out from the if you can't align Nina from your strategic plan. If you can't align, how do we expect what Baba Mother such a serious? $132 billion around human settlements development. So can I not convince you? Out of national treasure, what have you done to make sure you access those resources? Yeah, so I believe that when you are responding, you are going to talk to those issues. And the issue of location, I saw you on the remote. So, state of the national crisis. ngiqalane ndikhulule zabe sendilate kakhulu ka meeting. Asale ukhomputa.
Okay.